are you? Nice to see you. Well, nice hear to, you, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Nice to hear me. Yes, yes. I have some news for you, though.
What?
We're not millionaires.
Oh, that's not news to me. Thanks for the reminder. Thank you, Elsie.
I know. I just wanted to put that out there because that's kind of like our theme for the show today, just a little bit, because we've been talking about some money. We'll be talking about some money and some podcasting stuff. Yes. But So, ladies, we're going to be going to NMX very soon, too. So if any of you guys are going over to New Media Expo, go ahead and email us at feedback@shepodcast.com. There's going to be a meetup at least at some point.
Yes, I'm working on it with the with Liz.
Yeah. So Liz from the Satellite Sisters is going to be getting a little bit of a meetup together. So do stay tuned. I think possibly maybe our next episode, we might have some more information about that to see where everybody can meet and stuff. But just as an FYI, do let us know.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I want to give a little shout out to
give a little bit of a shout out to
Entertainment Drive-Thru, which we're going to, she gave us permission to use her post. She posted a very big post in She Podcast about her thoughts about a one-year anniversary. Did I say that right? One-year university? Is that what I said?
One-year university.
Yeah, one-year university.
Wouldn't that be the dream?
Oh, my God. That would be so nice. But we would still be in debt. So it doesn't really matter.
True.
So, yes, one-year anniversary of her podcast, Entertainment Drive-Thru. Mm-hmm. So she got Melissa Joan Hart from, you know, Melissa and Joey, Sabrina.
From the Teenage Witch. Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, all of those ladies. She got Marissa. So she got her on the show.
You know, that must have been really hard. I'm sure she's in super high demand.
Oh, yeah. But then she also said, did you
I'm
read
joking.
On the thing? No. Shut up. That it was like a 10-minute, it was a 10-minute interview. Like, that's all that she could get. Because that's usually what happens. It's like very, it's not like us that we're like, oh, let's book 30 minutes and then we're talking for 90.
Some is better than none.
Well, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's just that, yeah. But she talks about it in there. So we kind of wanted to go and kind of break down her post bit by bit and sort of kind of dive deep into it and give our thoughts about it, because I found it to be super just, it's great because there's a lot of people who don't really talk about this stuff. And especially for new podcasters, not to dissuade you, because we do have the Podcasting School for Women here coming up very, very soon, which, so we're obvious proponents of getting to podcasting.
Yes.
But we just want to warn you. And this is what she begins with. She says, warning, brutal honesty. So this is where it got. We got it from. Number one, first of all, as much as we wanted, we are not millionaires.
No. Nope.
We spent a lot of money last year and managed to get two different advertisements. Most startups have similar problems getting traction and money. I recommend a business person on your team. We have a team. We're two. Followed all the steps, daily episodes from 6 months, and it was so overwhelming, I was burned out by the end. My husband is amazing and does all the editing. I handle the administrative and social media alongside being hosts.
Okay, wait. Pause. What?
Okay, pause.
Elsie.
Yes.
Since I was gone.
Yes.
And we implemented more team help.
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how awesome is it having a team?
It's really great having a team. I mean, it's very important. It's very important. I think
we were killing ourselves before.
Yeah, I'm still like,
you're still killing yourself.
I'm still kind of killing myself, but it is my prerogative. And I think that
I like to do it.
I think I love that I can just send the stuff out. I love that I don't have to be conscious
scheduling.
Of it. Like once it's, So I do understand. And so what we get help with, just to kind of come back, is we get our show notes posted. We get the newsletter scheduled. That kind of stuff.
We get the tweets put up.
We get the tweets put up. That's it. The tweets put up. And so the challenge from my end is that I still manually do it all, but because I listen to the show and I want to get like show notes that are pretty in depth, and I don't know, how do you think we could outsource that? I don't know if we can though, because
you have to get someone who's really
into
good.
Like
you can't get a Filipino. I mean, I guess you could. Some of you guys I know have like Chris Ducker's Filipino VA system thing going on, but I think you need someone to listen to the show and create the show notes for you, so you don't have to do it. They write down every link, you know, they look it up, they just create it for you, and then they send it to the teammate.
Yeah, I think that together.
You don't really have to do that, but I mean, it seems like you want to.
Right. No, but the thing is, it like it's because when I listen, but it's also, you know, our show notes are in our voice, so it's not like. It's not a third person thing. It's and well, it is third person because sometimes I say things like Jessica realizes something, you know, like yeah. something like that. That's kind of silly and cute, but it lines with what we're doing. I think one of the hardest things for me.
That's why you need to find somebody really good who like either is similar to you or, right. you know, or has like a similar personality, or yeah. you can explain like, I want it to have personality,
yes.
but I still think you need to have someone who's like English speaking, someone that you know well,
right.
who's bubbly. You know what I mean?
Totally. And well, yeah, but anyway, and then yeah, the links anyway. Are yeah. the hardest part. I think gathering the links, for me and, you know, I have to get it done with enough time before this stuff goes live, which is also a challenge for me. Although I have found a little bit of a workflow because this is, mm-hmm. want me to tell you what it is? It's really fun.
I do.
I get, because on Thursday, so we generally record on Wednesday. So I generally do the editing of the show while I'm not driving. I'm in the passenger seat while we go into town to mm-hmm. do gymnastics on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And so I just listen because there's really, it's like a 45 minute drive into town. So yeah. 45 one way, 45 the other way. I'm basically done with editing and show notes by the time we get back.
Cool.
So I'm just sitting there.
That's not bad.
Doing anything. So as long as I just like open the thing and start going, I'm good. But that's usually how I do. I listen to you and I while we're in the car.
Wow.
Well, just in my ears.
Don't you ever get sick of us? No. I shouldn't ask you that.
I know. No, I don't. I don't. But anyway, so yeah, a team is super, super helpful for, it is, it's incredibly helpful, to have that support, to be able to just do, yeah. to do that work.
I wanted to reiterate that because I didn't think you would ever admit that we needed a team.
No, and you know,
there was one point where you were just like, I'm doing it all.
Well, I know. Like, and I'm just,
I don't think I can do it all.
You're right. You're yeah. totally right. It's so much easier because so it kind of takes it out of my hands and it yeah. is a lot of work. And even with the lips and stuff, it's still a lot of work.
Even there's, with the team, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Even with the team, it's a lot of work. You're
so
right.
So much work.
There's a lot more that I want to do for yeah. us that I haven't done. There's a lot of stuff that I wish I could do for us that
like
I have
what we
not
were
done.
Just saying in the last episode, like we could have somebody totally export the audio and put a logo and do YouTube or,
yeah.
or create awesome Pinterest, you know, or maybe we could delegate more so that we could do that. I mean, there's so much more we could do yeah. if we outsourced more.
Yep.
It's right. just hard.
It is hard.
And it's not, we don't have a limited bond.
Yeah. And that's and the, exactly the yeah. conversation we're having. We're not millionaires.
We're getting into that next.
So, okay. so now like, so the conversation that they were, that she was having here too, is that the fact that she was doing now, they're doing eight episodes a month. That's two each Sunday. Very interesting.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thought. That's like kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So then she says, numbers matter, but they're not everything. Don't obsess over them or they will drive you crazy. Duh. but it's true. And I think we say this all the time. And it's really interesting when I start to see people, oh my God, I'm getting so many downloads a day, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God, I'm a new and noteworthy, blah, 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 blah. But I have to tell you that the time that you spend doing that kind of stuff, you know, checking your stats, it's like, it defeats the it just defeats so much. And I don't think that you can really.
Your ego, your self-esteem.
Yeah, totally. But you really, like, in all honesty, Jess, I don't think that there's any advice that we can give a newbie to not check their stats because they're just going to have to understand it themselves. Like,
yeah.
it's one of those, like, you know, things that you tell your teenage child and they're still going to make that mistake. And then they go, oh, that's why my mom was telling me not to do this.
You know, on the same note, if you're one of those people that subscribes to like 800 emails that are telling you how to run your business or run your podcast, that's a huge waste of time too. Like stop reading advice and start like implementing some stuff. Some people just hide under the guise of constant education. And if you're doing that with this show, that's okay. But if you listen to every podcast show about podcasting, but you haven't put an episode out, that's for donk.
Yeah.
Put your own stuff out too. Don't just learn and learn and learn and learn and don't do anything.
Right. And the other thing too is that, Yeah. It's like you have to understand how, what things work for you. And again, in the last show, we talked about what you hear podcasters say is truth and whatever. Really, the only truth is your experience, in all honesty, because it, for every single podcast that's out there that tried a specific model, it's going to work for some and it's not going to work for others. Others are going to work in a completely different way. Like, you know, I, Rob's, my co-host for the feed, Rob's Today in iOS podcast, he gets like hours upon hours of voice feedback from people. His community is so engaged. It's insane. And it works because he, you know, his podcast is about iOS. It's about the iPhone. They already know how to use it. They know how to send audio feedback. They love his podcast app that he has. He's got an incredibly engaged audience. They want to participate. They're constantly sending in questions and other people are answering the questions. And just like, you know, how Dr. Ginger answered in the last episode, that question, he's got that over and over again. So imagine if we would have gotten an hour worth of advice from other podcasters.
Yeah.
Or Lisa. And, you know, it's like that kind of stuff. He gets that and he has to curate through it. But anyway, that works for him. Perhaps for us, we're still kind of working on giving your voices. So yeah. Don't check your numbers that much, especially at the beginning, because it's really nice to see you grow, but it's really not the be all and end all. And it's heartbreaking when you're not, meaning you only get a little bit of a spike, nothing that's huge. It is heartbreaking. And the only way to get through that is to just keep going. When she continues, she says it's a lot. Oh, and especially she, her name is Anna Zarin. And her podcast is Interview Drive-Thru. So I didn't mention her name, so I just thought of like, she says, it's a lot of work and not all people make billions, but that's okay.
Yeah. No, in fact, I think no one makes billions.
No
one makes, I don't think anyone makes millions podcasting either.
Well, not podcasting, you're right, but as a business, but that's okay. Think about what you're doing it for the money, for education, for fun. Yeah. When we get blue, we look at our good stats, the fact that we're in over 185 countries, in 6 continents, and in all 50 states. Over 100K visits on our website each month. Pretty impressive. So yeah, all of that stuff is really good. You just have to start to see it. Well, you measure it. You have to have your own measurements, and you have to understand what that is. And you cannot start to compare yourself with other people that for other things that are working than yours, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was number one. Number two, listenership. It's a tricky one. We got into new and noteworthy and what's hot sections. We've gotten great reviews. People are blown away by our quality. My husband does the editing. Yay! But still have trouble with constant listenership.
People, how do they know?
Because people just listen to who they recognize. To get the ads, you need listenership. So it's important. So I think what she means, and I did not look at her stats, I think what she means is that there are certain podcasts that get a lot more downloads than others. So you can't really, she can't really make she could make a guesstimate of what her listener base is based upon an average of all of her shows, but she doesn't really know how many people are actually subscribed or listening to a specific show. Does that make sense?
So what? Yeah.
Because those are the stats that really matter. Like if you are figuring out your listenership, what you need to do is like you set a date. Let's say this one, this podcast is going live April 6th. So if we wanted to see if our listenership is growing, we would now look at April 6th. And then when it's May 6th, we would look at how many downloads we got for this episode. Only this episode, not the entire thing. Mm-hmm. And then we would look at, let's say, next week's episode, episode 45, and then see how many downloads we got for that month, for that episode. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to, you're going to start to see an average of the growth there. And that's how you find out. So you and I in this podcast, we have been growing. We're getting to a point where we're getting to a really nice size for us, for our niche podcast. It's nothing huge and it's nothing gigantic by any means. But we are getting to a place where I can see that our listenership is picking up and we are maintaining that. So it's not like we're losing people and people are not just listening to one episode. People are listening to and continue to listen to us.
Yeah.
That's what she does not have. That's what she says, that people like look at her entertainment drive through, and they go, oh, this person would be a really great person for me. Like the Melissa Joan Hart episode. I'm sure it's going to get a lot of hits,
yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean those people are subscribed or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. And that's a challenge. That is a challenge. To
maybe
see
it's a matter, maybe it's a formatting issue. Like she doesn't have consistent, interesting weekly that it's just get, I don't know. Cause I'm not that familiar with the show. So
we'll see.
I'm just wondering.
Here's what I would say though. This is what I would say, because part of it is that you can sell, and I would position this in this way. It wouldn't be like a show sell. Like it wouldn't be an, I would start to sell advertising based upon the host or the focus of that specific mm-hmm. podcast. So let's say if I would have had foresight of the Melissa Joan Hart episode, I would have started to think about what kind of perfect partner could I get for that specific episode so that mm-hmm. they would get the type of downloads. And then I could really focus in on delivering for that episode, not for the entirety, because you can't sell that. So I would start to really position that kind of a thing based upon a focus, or maybe mm-hmm. having, you know, if you're having like, let's say, 2 weeks worth of content that is all on a specific theme about mm-hmm. the entertainment industry, whatever, and you get guests that are based upon that, I would sell that as a clump mm-hmm. instead of the entirety of the episode. So yeah, I totally understand about that. So number three, so here we go. Social media. I got great tips from some Paradisers, and she obviously is referring to
podcasting
paradise. Using click to tweet, Twitter feed, got great response using post planner, etc. I found a great tip for of putting guest quotes on pictures and tagging them on Facebook, and then Facebook changed. As a business, I'm learning, leaning more towards Instagram and Twitter than Facebook. So what is this post planner? Post planner, is that post planner like the WordPress plugin? Is that what that is?
No. Post Planner is, if you go to postplanner.com, basically it's an app that you use for Facebook that helps you post viral content. Like it pulls from, like, let's say you were interested in tech. It'll pull articles from TechCrunch and BuzzFeed Tech and something else, and then tell you which things are getting the most attention online, and then you can schedule it in advance. So you can put this out today, this out tomorrow. It also does photos. It's actually super cool.
Well, that's interesting.
It's really cool, though.
Yeah, see all those. And then you start to get into the money, too, because these things cost money. So anyway.
Yeah, it costs money. In fact, I paid for it for a really long time and never got, I never prioritized using it. So I just let it go because I never use it, even though I think it's brilliant. I just don't have the time to sit and schedule my crap for the week.
Yeah, no, and that's what, and again, we go back to having help. And so, all of these things really work, but you do need to
but
have help.
But I don't want someone else to choose what I think is, funny. I want to choose what I think is funny, and I just don't have time.
Right. Totally. And so Click to Tweet is free, and I like
Click to Tweet. I use all the time.
We use it for us as well.
Yeah.
So
what
is Twitter feed? It says it's one word, so I don't know what that is.
Hold on.
We should have a typing, some kind of sound.
Your blog to Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and more.
Oh, okay. So it's an auto poster thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Got it. So she says, as a business, I'm leaning more towards Twitter and Instagram. I have a feeling it's just because Facebook makes so many, it's because basically you just have to pay. You know, there's a lot of these things in Twitter and Instagram that you can get for free, and Facebook, you can get the eyes on it. You just would have to do boosting posts or Facebook ads and
Your personal profile kind of stuff. Free.
Yeah, but I have a feeling that that's why she said that putting guest quotes on pictures and tagging them, I think Facebook isn't allowing you to do that anymore. And then I saw another post in Podcasters Hangout, I believe, from somebody saying that Facebook has really been kind of being poo-pooed about putting any kind of business stuff, any kind of business stuff on your Facebook personal page.
Yeah,
they've been closing accounts
true,
and stuff.
But I don't know that saying I have a new episode counts as that.
I thought about that too. I just promoted, our VIP thing, the SheP VIP, mm-hmm. and I just thought I wonder if that's going to be, I wonder if that's bad. But then the image isn't necessarily very salesy. So yeah, whatever. But I get it. I mean, but it's still investment. So social media. Yeah. Social media, you have to promote. Holy cow. Yeah. You do. You totally have to do it. Email. It's the first contact. So read over it. I don't know what that means. Email is the first contact. So read
it's the first contact that you have with people.
Okay.
If they sign up on your list.
Oh, okay. All right. So find out the relevant person. What? Mention a little bit about you, stats, past interviews. Oh, the email. Oh. I was totally confused. Okay, no, this is the email for the person that you want them to be a guest on your show. So this is the email. That's what it is. That's where I'm totally confused. Yeah. So email. So when you email your potential guest, it's the first contact. So make sure you read it over so you don't have any typos, I assume. I added that. Right. Find out the relevant person. Mention a little bit about your stats, past interviewees, how long the interview is, and how. Is it over Skype, a telephone? Most people don't give more than 30 minutes, some less. Our Melissa Joan Hart interview was 10 minutes. So, yeah, all of those are great tips. And I would add to that stuff, obviously, that you do a little bit of research on the person when you reach out to them again, because we've talked about this on the show. It's like, you have to know what they stand for before you say anything to them, mm-hmm. at least something, mm-hmm. at least a little bit.
Right.
Number five, quality. Most people complain that podcasts have poor quality. So listen to yours and think, if you were a listener, would you like it? In summary, just because you're not making millions doesn't mean your podcast isn't good. I sometimes get discouraged looking at the success stories, but remember, there's more to it. Learn from the best and aim to make your podcast the best it can be.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay. I agree.
Yeah. So
now,
go ahead. No, you go.
No, go ahead.
I have a child coming here, so you talk.
Oh, well, I was going to say, Katie Kremitzos also hit a year recently, and also Natalie Ekdahl, but Natalie did not write a post about it, so we're going to put the link so you can hear her experience with her husband, their first year of podcasting. Katie did write a post, A Day in the Life of a Podcaster, How Do I Monetize? So she kind of goes through, like, what she says is, every single day of my 13-month podcasting journey thus far can be summed up in one simple phrase: I'm just trying to figure it all out.
Yeah.
And she says, knowing I never will, of course. Knowing that only each day something becomes easier, something else stands in front of me like Mount Everest. And she's right. But she is an entrepreneur, so her goal is to monetize. So she does talk about, like, so far how she's making money with a podcast. And she talks about affiliate income, which is minimal, sponsorship, which she's done okay for sponsorships. And she does mention me as helping her with the sponsorship package because, yeah, following the download model didn't work. So she ended up making a good amount through doing, like, presenting value instead of downloads. And then she's made $3,000 so far in sponsorship. Mentoring, she's made $1,000, which is cool. And special programs, almost $1,000. And that's not bad. So the first year, she's made $11,587. Not from podcasting, but from things related to her podcast. And sponsorship is not making money. Well, I guess technically it is. But the other stuff isn't, like mentoring and stuff like that, affiliate stuff. That's stuff that's hustle. That's side hustle, I call it.
Side hustle stuff. So, but then when does I guess my question is this. Katie's podcast is like it's like her focal point. Am I right about that? It's like her main platform.
It's like in the podcasting world, yes, but it is not her main business.
Okay. All right.
Her main business is called the Tampa Bay Business Owners Association.
All right.
She has a networking group that she runs. It's a membership. She and Chris run it together, her husband.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with podcasting whatsoever. But Chris, I think, has a podcast as well. But she started the Biz Women Rock podcast, I think, just for funsies, I believe. And it's just gotten... she's just sort of exploring how to monetize it or do it more often or whatever.
Yeah. The reason I asked that, I guess, okay. So let me clarify my question/comment. Because, so let's say she made, you know, this amount of money, whatever that was, 11,000 this year, from the podcast. And not from the podcast, but the reason that the money came was because she had her podcast. Am I right?
$11,000?
Yeah. Yes. So here's my comment, because a lot of times we say things like, well, this isn't really coming from podcasting. But the thing is, people wouldn't really know about the stuff she's selling if she didn't really have her podcast as the focal point, because it's like, that's how she got her group. You know, she has a Facebook group that's very vibrant, and it's full of people that are basically a lot of her listeners and people who have listened to her podcast that has grown. And she, you know, I'm sure the mentorship has been sold because you got to know her on this, you know, on the Biz Women Rock podcast. And so, when do we really make that, kind of like distinction that the money isn't because of the podcast? Because if you remove the podcast, could she still do that?
No, not with these particular streams of income. She could do it another way, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure she could do it another way. And it would be like, you could do it. Yeah, absolutely. But what I'm saying is that you can. It's just that it's not directly coming from the podcast, which is, so what would that look like, Jess? What would it look like to make the money podcasting? Like, if you were podcasting for a living, what would that look like?
A larger company like NBC paying me a monthly or weekly salary to put out a show.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of how I see it as well. Or somehow, I would assume, being able to cover...
Like Cliff gets donations.
Yes, but again, that's not making a living. That's like...
I mean, it is if you get a couple grand a month.
Right, totally.
You get grand a month.
Right, and that's exactly what, you know, Daily Tech News has gotten, like, a pretty decent chunk of money. And all he does is he delivers tech news. You know, Tom Merritt delivers tech news a day, and that's his job. Mm-hmm. You know, his job. So he is his own boss. He makes money, and it's all based on donations or the patron model. Which, to me, I guess, if I had the ultimate dream of making money podcasting, that's what I would do. That's like That would be it. I would love to get paid somehow to just create this content, because then all I would have to do was like work on getting content for the show. How cool would that be, Jess?
It would be amazing.
It would be so rad to just be able to gather like guests and do the research and put the show together and get like everything that I do anyway.
Yeah.
But more right. At more depth.
Busy work.
Yeah, with less busy work.
You'd have a big company like NBC doing all the other stuff.
That would be super rad. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I totally get that. And
there isn't anyone knocking on my door to do that, which is why you have to find other ways.
Well, so here's and we'll continue on the other ways parts. But here's the thing that I'm feeling that there is at this moment, because we've seen all these articles about podcasting, that there are other bigger entities that are in the process of looking for content, looking for shows, looking for possible shows that they can do for their own stuff. You know, like Slate has gotten really big in terms of creating the content. There's so many, like Panoply, I think that we talk, Planofly, I don't even know how you call it. That's another network that's been created, that's coming up a lot. And there's a lot of people like we talked about BuzzFeed before. What I'm saying is that the opportunity I feel is a little bit more there, and we just have to step out and find that work, I think, as podcasters to create that. Like when you were talking about like a bigger company like NBC to hire you to do this, the only way they're going to know is if you can start to pitch it. Like you just have to work it. You got to work it.
Yeah. But it's like, just like anything else, like how do you do that when we don't even know if they're thinking about podcasting, if they're getting in, you know what I mean? Like you can't just be like professional podcaster, here's my resume.
Well, you
not
might
the same
be
as a TV producer, you know?
Yeah, you might be. Well, I don't know. I think that things that people, well, yeah, right. I think if it's you hard. Have the proper, yeah, absolutely. You just have to work it and be able to find it. But then there's a lot of us who really don't want to do that as well. I mean, I do. And I know you do.
I do.
But there's some people who, so let's get back to what Katie was doing there. Cause she's like had a multi-layered approach to the whole thing. And we were talking before, you know, before we started recording, we were talking about, you know, the income reports that people put out a lot, you know, like Johnny Dumas does one and Pat Flynn does one as well, where they talk about where their money's coming from. And I think that those are also important, but you also start to see how they diversify the income that's coming in. Right?
Mm-hmm.
My question is, and I think this is when it becomes a challenge for me to get it, is like, okay, so let's say you get something that is making you money. And I guess, well, Pat Flynn is a little bit different because his whole focus is on passive income. So he works his butt off to get the thing off the ground and then it just passively makes the income, which is obviously dreamy.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But a lot of these things like the other than affiliate, like the mentorship stuff and even the sponsorship stuff requires that you are part of something. It requires, like, if you have a sponsorship advertiser, you have to deliver. You have to keep on podcasting. You have to keep on creating your stuff. And for, what do you call it? For the mentorship stuff or even like group coaching stuff like we're doing, or even, you know, the Podcasting School for Women course, those things also, they're not necessarily passive. Like, we have to be part of that. And that takes up our time.
Yeah.
In addition to that, all I'm saying is that when, like, how do you add? Like, I don't understand, how do you continue to add? Like, we could do this, we could do that, we could do this, but there's only two of us. Like,
right.
I mean, even if we had a team, there's only so much that we can do.
I mean, that's a problem with everything, though. Like,
right.
I mean,
how do
it's
you,
always a problem.
How do you scale?
I think what you do is prioritize based on either A, what will, well, first of all, the way you scale is by figuring out what your goal is. If you're a new show, Pinterest is something that will get you listeners. So you do that instead of create a course for who? Nobody? Because you have no listeners. That's stupid. So you do it in phases. If you really want to grow your show, the first thing you do is social media your face off so that you can grow it. And then in 6 months, once you have like a decent, you know, listenership, you can go, okay, well, now I really want to have like an in-person event. Well, let's look at your listenership. Or how many people are listening a week? Is it 1,000 or 100? If it's 100, we keep growing. If it's 1,000, okay, maybe you can do an event or a course or an ebook or something that people, you know, same thing with like Facebook ads. You can do all those things. You can do Facebook ads and Pinterest and YouTube and LinkedIn and all that stuff in order to make money. And same thing with an affiliate income is the kind of thing where it's like, yeah, I mean, if you want to sign up to be 800 affiliates and put all these ads on your site and you have no traffic on your website, I mean, that's just dumb. How about you pay an SEO person instead to juice up your site so that you can start getting traffic? That's what you do first. I mean, one thing at a time, only because your goal has to be one thing at a time. Like if you're Pat Flynn and you're starting a podcast and you already have a crap load of web traffic.
Right. True.
Then you can go, what can I sell all these people now that I have a podcast? Or how am I going to get new listeners to the podcast?
Right.
Where else could they be? What do they want? What do they want to hear me say? And then maybe you just think about content.
Yep. And then that's when it becomes really fun, when you can do that. But I guess the reason I'm asking these questions too is so that as a new podcaster, as somebody who's starting to do all this stuff, it takes a long time. You know, I mean, these are 1 year sort of like recaps or 1 year look backs at what is possible with podcasting. And, you know, both
Just figuring it out.
Yeah. And Biz Women Rock and Biz Chicks. Yeah, exactly. We're just figuring it out. And also you start to see, you also have to look, which is why I really liked, Anna's, post, because she really took a chance, took a look back to see what it really takes to do these things. And even from Anna's perspective, you know, she invested it. Well, I assume that if you're in the Podcasters Paradise Facebook group or the Paradisers, as she said, that she invested in that. In that. So already she's put money into getting as much positive support and information about how to do this thing, right? So when do you start to really kind of take all of the learning out of the equation and when you start to see a profit, right? And then if you're not paying for courses, you'll be paying in time. Because yeah, you're going to be sitting down trying to figure the stuff out.
Either way,
you're going to still be paying. And then is it really worth it? That's when you start to figure. I think that's the biggest question for me to get to podcasters is that, is it really worth it for you for what you want? Because I would get behind the mic no matter what, simply because this is the platform that I want to do. So I'm constantly coming up with other things that I can do behind the mic. I'm not necessarily thinking about how to make money from it because I do feel that the business will come. I feel that the money will come with other skill sets that I might have or other things that I can do. Mm-hmm. But I always want to get behind the mic because I love it. But if you're a business that is looking for a specific end game or has a specific goal, you have to really start to see whether or not having a podcast is going to pay off. Because again, it doesn't happen right away. It's like a year when you can start to make a decision whether or not this is working or not.
Yeah.
That's when you look back and see it. Go ahead.
I don't agree with that. I mean, but I also had somewhat, I didn't start from scratch, but I knew right away it was working. Right away.
Uh-huh.
Episode one. I knew I had hit something because of the feedback that I got from people that it was feedback like, why did you wait so long to do this?
Right.
You're naturally good at this. You should have been doing this all along. And I'm not saying like, if you're not hearing that, you should stop. I'm just saying for me, I felt like, you know, there was a piece of, you know, like Elsie, I did theater and comedy and all kinds of stuff. There was something missed. That piece was missing for me in my business anyway. So would I be podcasting anyway? I mean, at this point, I would say yes, but that's not, I mean, I came upon it because I was trying to show my personality other ways in my business and it wasn't working. And I felt like this would be the best way to do it. It was business related, but at the same time, it was personality related. So I probably would be doing it anyway. That doesn't mean that I started out hoping to have a job in broadcasting. I do now, but that's just because I feel like now that I've done it for a couple years, it might be the best thing I know how to do. It might be the thing that I'm naturally good at that I just didn't have the key to before, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And see, you're measuring success. So you're measuring that it's been worth it to you in a variety of different ways that have nothing to do with numbers. That have nothing
money.
To do with, yeah, that, yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. It's like sometimes we start to measure the success of podcasting based upon download numbers and stats. And new and noteworthy and all that stuff. And that doesn't really matter. It matters at certain points. It's kind
it
of like
matter.
Mile. It's certain milestones, like when you learn how to walk. Yeah, walking totally matters and it's amazing, but it really only matters when you're one.
I mean, it does. It's true that I am measuring in that way. However, I have also hustled my balls off to have my show be listened to and heard.
Yeah.
Whereas with She Podcast, we were just like, gee, hope somebody listens. I didn't do
fun.
That with Lady Business Radio. I mean, I'm telling you, I hustled my flipping ass off
right.
to make sure that everyone knew about it. I put it everywhere so people would listen to it. I've been networking. I've been reaching out to other pod. You know what I mean? Like, I've been doing it a long time. I did not just like pray that someone listened because I was focusing on that, not this show when we started this show. Now this show, now that I want to focus more on this show, I want to start doing the same thing. But we haven't even this. Whatever success we've achieved with She Podcast has been solely based on putting out content, hoping someone listens.
Yeah.
That is it. And
absolutely.
It has not gotten nowhere. Right now, it has surpassed my other show and my hustle efforts. And
well,
that could be because I had a hiatus.
Right.
And Elsie didn't. But, you know, it could also just be because – you know, we've been doing consistent, you know, stuff and like maybe it's just where my interests lie more, just whatever.
And you never know. But you're right, Jess, because we didn't have like a we didn't have a plan. We didn't really.
No plan.
No plan. We just go like, we just need to do this because we kept talking about it.
Let's try. Okay. Here we go.
I know.
That's it.
And you're right. And it's so funny because we've been seeing it like, we just have to get the show out. Because that's how I see it. We just have to get the show done. Like, not the show promoted, not the show seen by, not pitching the show to people, not, it's just like, we just have to record this week.
I just want to record. What do you want to talk about? You know, we really need to talk about this article because it really burned my boobs off. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Totally.
That's it. Yep. And that's, I mean, now it's a little different because now that we have, and once you have a listenership, hopefully you guys have noticed that you feel some obligation to keep giving them content because then they get mad when you don't.
Right. Or, and then we do, you know, we totally, yeah, absolutely. And we've had a couple of emails where like, well, we want you to keep going. It's like, okay. Yeah. Right. So we get it. We get it. But at the same time, we really did not come into this having a plan of doing it. And because we had other things going on at the same time, and it does, it built its own momentum. It became its own kind of entity. And therefore we thought like, we need to harness this and do something about it. Right.
Yeah, and so, it doesn't mean that's the best way to launch.
Right.
I'm just illustrating that, you know, you can have success both ways, but the key is to just like, just to try it and see.
Yes, absolutely. Try
it
and
see. You won't ever know if you don't try it and see. And that's all Katie's doing with her income stuff. I wonder if I could make money consulting. I wonder if somebody would buy something as an affiliate. I wonder if I could get a sponsor. That's it.
Yes.
Not a major plan. I mean, and all Elsie and I can say is that, you know, she and I have some experience in this area and that we could probably help you if you already have a plan or even help you make a plan.
Right.
Because I have made plans before. And I mean, like, you know, and it does help to have a sort of plan so that, like Elsie said, you know which direction you want to go in for. Okay, yeah, I do want to go in this direction first because I have zero listeners. I started out with 200 listeners a week because I already had an email list and people who liked me enough to be interested in what I had to say. Not everyone has that.
Yeah. And that's another thing that you have to really think about too. It's like, and also with this show, I also had, I didn't really necessarily have a list. Like,
no, but you're well known on the internet.
Right. And then I think that also counts, you know, because, and it's interesting to me sometimes when I have people reach out to me as an expert, if you will, to be part of other things online. And then they require my email list to get, you know, for me to promote whatever the thing it is. And I always feel like really bad because my influence isn't in the email list. I don't have like an email list for Elsie because I have Elsie's yoga class email list out there, but that's like yoga stuff. I'm not going to be like,
who's emailing those people? Nobody.
Nobody is. Exactly. And so it's like, I'm not going to be doing that. So my influence is online. Like, how do you measure that? Like how many, you know, a tweet or an Instagram post or like a Facebook thing, or I highlight you on something. And usually it all comes from what I say. Mm-hmm. It's me. I'm the influence. I'm my email list at this moment. Not to say that that's also, again, I don't want that to be like a practice because I didn't really make this a practice. It's just that for me at this moment, having an email list, I would love to start to gather emails, but
well, we have.
Well, yeah, no, we have but
no
what I'm saying,
to them.
Right. Right. No, but what I'm saying is like for me, I don't have the time. Like I would gather the emails, but I feel weird because it's like, I don't have the time to be doing an email. I really don't. And I don't mean, like it.
We do have email. You do have emails. You just, I mean, and I'm happy to tell you how many, and I mean, we just, because it's new, like we haven't, you know, you have access to those people if you want to email them and like, you know, you're just not what she's saying is she's not actively growing an Elsie list.
Yes. That's
and
what
that's
I'm saying.
And at the moment, you know, Elsie, maybe you don't need to because you have worked for Libsyn for a while and we're doing this show. And what would just Elsie be sharing with them or giving them that we're not sharing elsewhere? And if you think of something, of course,
I'll do it. Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
List. Yeah.
Exactly. Then you do make a list. But anyway, but I feel that all in all, this kind of work, especially with them going back again, just knowing whether or not it's worth it is something that you continually need to talk about. You know, maybe you really love the industry like I do as well.
Yeah.
And I love to research it. I love to help people with ideas. I love, that's like what I, that's my industry. I really love this audio digital media. That's what I want to be hired to do, to help you do that, to develop that voice, to develop that digital media voice. That's what I really love to do. And the way to get myself out there is by talking about it, because the way you feel it is because I get so darn passionate about these things. People get so excited and then they go do what I say, right?
Yeah. And it's contagious too, because I find myself now being Elsie with, you know, like I find an article and she's like the first person I send it to, or I find a new show or someone's talking about a show and she's the first person, like, do you know this show? What do you think about this show? Do you know the person who does this show? Tell me everything about this show. Like all of it, it's very contagious listening to her.
And so, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, but that's what I love to do. And so if like getting behind the mic and talking about these things, remember that that lady with the ADD that she's wanting that ADD show that she went
Chris. Favreau.
Yeah. So it's
like,
hi Chris. So she would like to have, you know, she hasn't launched this, but she thought like it's a really good idea. She really wanted to have this idea to interview entrepreneurs that have been diagnosed with ADD, and the conversation that's going on that list. I just thought on that list, on that thread in the Facebook group, I thought was really great because I can sense, like at first it was
people
something like
very passionate about ADHD.
Yeah, but this is what the interesting part was. Like her post was like, I kind of want to do this with this. Is do you guys think it's okay? And then as the conversation went through, all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, I totally love this. This is why I started. This is why I want to talk about this because of blah. And you could hear by inner her words how fired up she was. And that's how passionate you have to be about your podcast.
Sure. Yeah.
Because if you are not like that, dude, it's like hard.
You're not like that. Do us all a favor and wait till you are and then do a show. Because it's going to suck.
Because at first, I'm telling you, you're going to get like the air popped out of you. There's going to be times when you're just like, holy hell, I have to get this together again. Because it's never ending. And even if you batch produce, like I just saw Anne Samoylov, you know, another one of our friends, like online on Instagram. And she had like, you know, she had been batch interviewing people for a day. And it's like funny because the last comment she made on that was like, oh, exhausted. And I could tell it's totally exhausting.
Yeah,
it's just, even if you batch it, it's like, geez.
You know, the key to that is to stop interviewing people just because I need to stop interviewing people just because I think it might make a good show, and only interview people I'm extremely excited to talk to.
Yeah.
Because every time I concede to an interview, I'm sorry that I've done it. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean.
No, I completely, I totally. And that also has happened to me too from the other side, where whenever I have said yes to being interviewed, which I, again, like we have talked about this with the Natalie show, where I say yes to almost everything that comes my way. Mm-hmm. And I very rarely have like a resistance to it. But there have been a couple of times where I'm like, I don't know about this. And I just need to follow my gut and just say no, because usually I'm just so open to it. And like now I've had to set paradigms because we're going to New Media Expo and I have so much to do. It's insane to get
prepared. By the way, just so you know, her paradigm is no. Until May.
No, until May. Yeah, that's it. I'm like, no more.
That's her paradigm.
No more podcast interviews until, basically May.
Yeah.
Because
so
I can't do it. Yeah. So don't ask until May. And then I'll be back out of my cave. But literally I had to do that because if I didn't do that, again, I'm not complaining. I love to do this, but I found myself that I was looking and I had like an average of like 2 podcast interviews a week almost.
Yeah,
and that's not you. I mean, that's like other people.
And by the way, that's not my paradigm. So I'm free. I'll pick up what she's putting down, guys.
I know, right?
That's
I'll be like, go talk to Jess. Go talk to Jess.
Such a hog. I'm sorry. I had to say that.
Yeah, it's super, super fun for me. It's just that, again, I had to do that. So anyway,
Plus, Elsie, and I mean, this is, you know, that's time. It's free. They're not paying you to interview you. And if you're doing 2 or 3 a week, how much money are you putting on the table?
Right.
Three and hours that you could be making money doing something else.
Right. I know. And that's when I started. And again, I love to be interviewed, but I'm just saying that you're right. There were other things that were falling by the wayside, my actual work that needed to be done because I was doing these other things. And I could justify, and that's another thing, I can justify going on other podcasts as my work for Libsyn because That's what I am. I'm part of the podcaster relations team. I'm part of the social media community manager. I am the social media community manager. So I manage the community there. I do a lot of outreach for the community. And that's how come we have grown so much. It's because Rob and I are advocates. Rob and I are out there. Rob and I are constantly in the space. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we do, and we do it well, which is why our podcast for the feed has grown so much. I'm super proud of that as well. But that is, again, we are paying for it in that way. We're paying for it because we do a ton of just, we are present constantly mm-hmm. and there. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of time. So, and that's what it takes. I mean, it's taken, and all I can say is that growing that show is perhaps what I'm the most proud of, because like with Sheep, not again, we talked about this. Sheep Podcast was not sort of like we just started it and it kind of did its own thing. Like it just started to grow and we're passionate and all these things. And yes, we did have other, you know, knowledge that, so we set everything in place. But with the feed, I really worked on it. I mean, there is a system to me doing that show. And it's now that I'm seeing the benefits of it. And again, I go back, it's been about a year or so where, you know, we launched almost 2 years ago now, and the results that we've gotten from that show have been really great for the company. Again, I'm not talking download numbers. Yes, our numbers are actually very, we're almost getting 1,000 downloads a month. A month for per episode. So we're almost getting 1,000 downloads per episode a month.
A week. Yeah.
No, not a week. I'm saying a month. 1,000, like in meaning for like episode, which is what we really want to know. You're saying a week. Every time I say a month, you're like a week. No, a month.
But because it's not an episode, that's why. Because it's when I look at the stats, what I see is like I look at in March how many downloads. Because you have to realize that like some of those that are up to 800-900 are from January. Like this, right. Like this, so far this month, like a January episode has gotten 45 downloads.
Right.
But do you know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm saying we're getting, it's not per episode though.
Well, cause I make,
does that make
I
sense?
Do, yes, it does make sense. But what I'm saying is like, I'm doing the math, which is, I do look at the, I do, give me 1 second. Hold on. We're going to turn this music down.
Like some of our episodes have 2,000 downloads already, but those are one of some of the first ones.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, though, like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about every time we release an episode, within 2 days, we have about 800 downloads.
Correct, but they're not all that episode.
That's yes, they are that episode.
What?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to get you. Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Give me 1 second. Pause. Okay.
I understand now. Okay.
Okay. So when I'm talking about one, like the
per
number
episode that per month,
per episode per month. Yeah. So this is what you guys need to look at.
Four episodes a month. Right.
Absolutely. So for the feed, what I'm talking about here is that episode, you know, that, show, the stats that I look at are not the monthly stats. So yes, we have gotten a certain amount of an X amount of numbers. Like you can see that if you have Libsyn, you can go into your general stats. You can look at total downloads and you can see like, you know, how many total downloads you have had for March, how many total downloads you've had for February, blah, 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 like that, right? But the number that you really need to look at is, let's say you released an episode at the beginning, like the first week of February. Let's say February 6th, because that's my birthday. Let's say that's the day that you released that episode. On March 6th, go back to that episode that you released on February 6th and look underneath, like first, when you're looking in the stats, it says general stats, it says total downloads. If you scroll a little bit lower, this is all in Libsyn, by the way, it says downloads per episode. Then you look at that episode that you released on that February 6th date, and you look at it on March 6th, and then you scroll and where it says total downloads for that episode, that's your total downloads per month. That's what you can tell people that you're getting monthly per episode, not per, what do you call it? Not per show, not like the total thing. That's, you know, now going back into like the Twitter bombers that are out there, what they're doing is that they are forcing downloads of their back catalog, which means that their back catalog has more downloads than their current episodes.
Right.
Does that make sense? And so that means that their core audience isn't there. They don't have an audience. So,
right.
Which is like lame, because if you see the downloads that they're getting from iTunes, it's like 250, 150 downloads. And then they have 10,000 downloads coming from Chrome, mm-hmm. which is that's not your listener base. And that's coming from their back catalog. Their new episodes are not growing. So that's how we do it. What I'm saying right now is that for the feed, let's say right now, for a month, let's say a month from today, the episode that I released a month ago today has now gotten 1,424 downloads. So that to me is great growth, right? Because now we're over 1,000 downloads for that show. And the feed is a very niche episode. It's basically a podcast about podcasting for Libsyn.
Right.
But even though we do have, you know, 18,000, what do you call it? We host 18,000 podcasts in Libsyn. But at the same time, not everybody, again, is listening to podcasts. Not everybody's subscribed to our newsletter. Not everybody follows us on social media, you know, and that's my job. That's what I try. I try everybody to get to listen. So I find that it's been an incredible success for that specific show. Boom.
Boom.
So bottom line is you have to work your butt off.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So, okay. I think we have beat this one to death. And my daughter is like going to, she's like, I'm going to have to like.
She's going to implode, people.
She's going to implode. You should have heard y'all, the people that like she was about to implode here. I had to get her away by telling her she was going to get chocolate, which is not usually what I try, but I had to finish recording.
Yeah.
Chocolate. Yeah. She's like, what? Okay, Mom.
Bye.
Bye. I know she left so fast.
I could tell she's giving Elsie a hard time. And finally, Elsie was like, I'll give you chocolate. Peace out.
I know.
It was really funny.
It was like, my God.
And then you hear a thump, 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 thump down the steps.
I know. And then she tells her sister, I'm getting chocolate. So, of course, I'm going to have to give.
You should add that in the beginning. It was really funny. I'll give you chocolate. Okay.
I know. I know. I'm going to see if I can tuck that. I'm going to take that away and see. Because she was like, you can't hear her, but she was going.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Growling. And I'm like,
what? Feel her eyebrows furrowing through the phone.
So anyway, if you ladies have any feedback for us, please email feedback@shepodcast.com or you can speakpipe.com/ shepodcast and or download the SpeakPipe app, and you can just do it from there. It's super, super easy. Click the link that we have in the show notes. We would love to hear from you.
Yes.
Anything else, Jess?
That's it. Podcasting School for Women is coming up.
Podcasting School for Women, and we will be, this show is going live on April 6th, so basically a month. So you have a month to prepare. For Podcasting School for Women.
.com and get on the list or download our freebie and get ready.
Yeah, baby. All right. I'll talk to you next time.
Talk to you next time. Okay. Thank you guys for listening. Love you, mean it.
Okay. Holy cow. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.